Hi, my name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and today I'm going to talk to you right now, actually, about balanced scorecards. What's a balanced scorecard, first of all? And secondly, how would you introduce one in your organisation? And this podcast is aimed at private sector organisations. For those of you listening from the public sector, there is an alternative version of this podcast for public sector organisations as well. So the first thing is, what is a balanced scorecard? What is a balanced scorecard? What does it do? A balanced scorecard is basically a performance measurement tool, a way of tracking the performance of your organisation. Basically, in very, very simple terms, what a balanced scorecard does is it gives a range of key performance indicators for your organisation. So key performance indicators have to be essential things that the organisation is trying to achieve. And following on from that, of course, they must be linked to the strategy of the organisation. So we're trying to achieve our strategic aims by tracking them through this balanced scorecard. The balanced scorecard will contain performance measures that are both financial, and that means measured in pound note terms, and also non-financial. Remember, a non-financial performance indicator might be numerical. It could be numerical or it might not be. Of course, non-financial performance indicators that are numerical are easier to track objectively, but sometimes we have non-numerical ones. The balanced scorecard must meet the service perception of our clients. It must track how well we're performing against our clients' expectations of us. A balanced scorecard must track our business processes and how well, how efficiently we're carrying out our business processes. The balanced scorecard should also track our ability to learn and grow, to change. We move in a very fast-moving economy, and private sector organisations have to ensure that they keep up to date with the requirement of their customers and also their competitors, perhaps even get ahead of their competitors. So the ability to learn, to change, to improve, to move the level of service or product that you're providing is important and therefore is an essential feature of the balanced scorecard. And lastly, a balanced scorecard should provide both qualitative and quantitative measures to track the performance of the organisation. So how many is the organisation doing and how well is the organisation doing? Kaplan, who created the balanced scorecard, said running a business is like flying an aeroplane. You need lots of different measures. So flying an aeroplane, you'd need to know your altitude, you'd need to know your speed, you'd need to know the amount of fuel you had left. And it's the same in a business. There's no one indicator that tells you whether the business is successful or not. Traditional performance measurement has been through measuring profits. But profit measurement, remember, it's an output measure. It's a measure of historical achievement rather than giving us an indication of where the destination of the organisation is. So this balanced scorecard can have historical output measures in, but also has lots of input measures, lots of measures to show us where we're going in the future. Okay. So let's have a look at what the balanced scorecard looks like. The balanced scorecard has four perspectives that the organisation measures, and these are as follows. Number one, it measures its performance over the financial perspective. Number two, measures its performance over the internal business perspective. Number three, it measures performance over the innovation and learning perspective. And number four, measures performance over the customer perspective. So let's have a look at those in turn. And perhaps I'll spend more time on internal innovation and learning and customer perspective, and slightly less time on financial perspective. This financial perspective is quite straightforward in that we would measure things like profits and sales growth. By the way, on each of these four areas of performance, we will be looking at our goals, the goals that we wish to achieve, and we'll also be looking at the measures, the ways that we track those goals and whether they've been achieved. Remember, the goals are going to be linked back to the strategy of our organisation. So, as I said, the financial perspective is looking at things like perhaps profit growth, perhaps growth in sales values. Another point about the balanced scorecard is we wouldn't want to have too many measures under each heading, perhaps two, three, four. Remember, if we had four measures under each heading, that would give us, say, 16 over four headings. So we want performance indicators not to be too numerous, because as we're tracking our performance, we don't want to be tripping ourselves up. In other words, if we had 40 performance measures and we achieved success in measure number 5, that might mean that measure number 37 was not being achieved. They might be counterproductive to each other, or antagonistic to each other, I should say. So we want to keep the number of measures down. I'm just going to give you a couple of examples under each heading. And each organisation, remember, would choose its own goals and measures to track performance under these headings. So the second heading is the internal business perspective. Now, what does this mean? Well, these are the things that we need to get right as a business in order to make sure that we achieve our optimum performance. They're things that our customers might not actually see or realise that we need to be good at, but we know that if we're not good at them, then our organisation will not be successful. So things like staff retention. Perhaps customers don't think about it, but having the same staff there week in, week out, year in, year out is good for the business because that means there's lots of experience in the business, and it also means that our recruitment and training costs are going to be lower than if we were constantly changing staff. We might measure something like delivery times from suppliers. Again, it's not something our customers might require from us, but we know that if we don't get our goods shipped in from suppliers on time, then we won't be able to deliver our goods to our customers on time. If it was something like a hotel, we might measure occupancy levels. Of course, a customer wouldn't be particularly worried about the fact that every room in the hotel was occupied. In fact, they'd simply be concerned about the level of service they were individually receiving. But if we didn't have high occupancy levels as a hotel, then we wouldn't be staying in business for very long. The next heading is innovation and learning. The innovation and learning perspective. As an organisation, we want to grow. We perhaps will need to grow and change so that we can keep up with the demands of our marketplace. So things we might measure here might be something like the number of new products that we've launched. Now, I've got to be careful here because simply launching new products is not a measure of success. So we'd have to be careful how we measured those new products introduced. So perhaps we'd measure the number of new products that were introduced successfully that sold a benchmark level of sales for the organization. Or we might look at the number of new services that we've successfully introduced in our organization. Or if we were, say, a restaurant, we might look at the number of new menu items that we'd successfully introduced again. So it's no good just introducing new menu items. We've got to introduce new menu items that are successful, that sell. The fourth perspective that we look at is the customer perspective. How are we perceived by our customers? Are our customers happy with the service and the products that we're delivering to them? So the things that we might measure there might be something like customer satisfaction levels. Measuring things like this might cause us problems. How are we going to measure customer satisfaction levels? How are we going to know whether our customers are happy with us? Perhaps we might send them a survey. Perhaps if we were an organisation that provided services and had a database of customers, we could send out surveys and encourage them by means of, say, giving prizes or discounts to respond to our surveys. We might measure customer retention, the number of times that a customer comes back to us, or the length of time that a customer stays with us if we're an organisation like a bank, say. We might measure the number of product returns, or at a very basic level, we might measure the level of customer complaints. So those are the four perspectives: the financial, internal, innovation and learning, and customer perspective, that as an organization we will set ourselves goals under each of those four headings, and we will then seek to measure whether we've achieved those goals. Remember, those goals are linked back to the strategy of our organization. The next question then is, how would we introduce a balanced scorecard? What would we need to do if we were going to introduce one into your organization, for example? Well, the first thing is you need top-level leadership and acceptance. Remember, the balanced scorecard is tracking our performance against our strategy. And who decides the strategy? Well, the strategy is decided at the top of the organization. So unless the main board or the board of the division that you're working within are comfortable with the idea of the balanced scorecard, then it won't have any credibility. So we need their acceptance and also their leadership. We would expect them to promote the balanced scorecard as a useful tool. Secondly, we need the involvement of the whole organization. Everybody in the organization has to be enthusiastic about using the balanced scorecard, because remember, it will be an extra piece of reporting that will be given to managers within the organization. Perhaps the balance scorecard actually might replace other information that they may have been receiving. And that would obviously encourage them to use it. Thirdly, as I've always said a couple of times, it needs to be linked to the strategic objectives of the organisation. And lastly, we need to have a multi-layered approach to the balanced scorecard. By that, I mean that at the top level of the organisation, we might have a goal of, let's say, delighting our customers. And we'll measure whether our customers are delighted by the level of income that we receive. Now, that will then need to be taken down to, let's say, the shop level if we're dealing in a retail organisation. And at the shop level, we again want to have delighted customers, and we'll have to set ourselves some lower level goals, such as, for example, reducing waiting times at tills, reducing the number of customer complaints, reducing the number of returns, so that we manage to achieve that top level goal of delighting our customers and increasing the overall level of income. Within a very large organisation, we might have a goal at the top and then slightly different goals a little bit lower down and then a layer lower down still and so on. But they're all aiming to the overall goal in the balanced scorecard for the organisation. The process that we'd go through, a step-by-step process that we'd go through to introduce a balanced scorecard, might look something like this. First of all, as mentioned a few moments ago, we need leadership from the top. Secondly, we'd probably put in place a development team, a project team, to oversee the introduction of the scorecard. A project team would have the responsibility of organising and leading the development of that scorecard. Then we would perhaps use focus groups, perhaps starting at the top of the organisation and then going down the different management layers within the organisation to look at sort of goals we should be setting that will align this scorecard back to the strategy for the whole organisation. From those focus groups, we probably get an enormous number of ideas, and those ideas would then need to be collated and linked through so that we could see that there was consistency at the different levels of the organisations with the goals that were being set. The next thing we then need to do, of course, is we need to tidy them up. We need to slim them down because, as I mentioned earlier, having too many goals is very distracting and counterproductive often. Once we've done that, we'd need to create the measurement tools. There might be IT involvement here. In fact, there almost certainly will be to produce this report, collect the information and produce it in a user-friendly format. We then need to test the measurement tools to see whether they actually work, to see whether the tools that we were using to measure actually achieved the goals that we needed to achieve our strategy. Then we'd implement the balanced scorecard, set it live, and after a trial period, I don't know, it could be 6 months, a year, perhaps shorter, perhaps longer, we would need to review and adjust the balanced scorecard. Because there inevitably will be things that when we do it live, perhaps won't work as efficiently as we first thought. So that's the process, or a typical process that you might go through in introducing a balanced scorecard. So, balanced scorecard. We talked about what a balanced scorecard is, the basic theory, the basic things that you would measure, the four perspectives that you would use, and also how you would introduce a balanced scorecard into your organisation. That's all I've got to say for today. Thanks very much for listening. My name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training. Goodbye.